is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Fall in love with basketball again this February with our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Be sure to check out their new Dr. Dish facility model with advanced analytics. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Rob Senderoff, head men's basketball coach at Kent State University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly. Mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight, and we are going to talk a little post All-Star break NBA.
Sounds good, Mike. But I have some trivia for you tonight.
All right,
hope you're excited.
It's coming off a high last week of 2 for 2, so yeah. There's a lot of pressure on me tonight.
Okay, Ja Morant set his franchise rookie season single game scoring record in consecutive games. 46 points on Saturday and 52 points on Monday. The last player to do this player for the Minnesota Timberwolves in 1989.
He set the record back-to-back for points.
For the most points in the franchise history. Now, you have to understand that this was the third and the fourth game ever in Minnesota Timberwolves history.
Okay, so, man, I got to think of who might have been part of the original Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to say, let's see, I'm drawing a total blank on who was the guy that ended up being the Timberwolves coach? Oh, I keep wanting to say Sam, but it wasn't Sam, was it?
Oh, no, this guy did play a season for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
All right.
I'll be honest with you, though.
Tony Campbell.
There you go. You got it. That was the hint you needed. It was the hint you needed.
Actually, that didn't. What's the guy who was the coach for the Timberwolves? I'm trying to think of his name.
Flip Saunders.
No. This guy was. He was. I don't know. It'll come to me at some point. I'm totally drawing a blank. I should know who that is. But yeah, Tony Campbell, Ohio State.
I'm impressed, Mike. Okay. So I got another Ja Morant trivia question for you. Here you go. Last night, Ja Morant became the fifth youngest player all time with 3 40-point games in a 4-game span. Name the 4 other players that are younger than him to ever do this in their careers. So 3 40-point games in a 4-game span. He's the fifth youngest player all time.
How old's Ja?
Oh, I didn't come prepared.
This is his third year.
Here, I'm looking up right now.
He came out after his sophomore season.
He's 22 years old. He was so 22, Mike.
Okay, so I'll say Oscar Robertson.
Not on the list. Two are currently playing. One played when I was alive, and the other guy.
LeBron.
No.
They're currently playing Carmelo.
Nope. Although Carmelo just hit a nice three-pointer.
Currently playing, did this under age 22. Man, I mean.
One played for the Texas Longhorns.
Durant. Okay.
Okay, there you go. I don't know where this other guy played in college. I should probably know, but he currently plays with the point guard.
Booker,
okay. Another guy, Mike, was featured predominantly, talked about at one point on, I think it was All-Star Saturday Night. He played when I was alive. Not when I was in the league.
All right, there you go. Man, must be another life. I don't think I can go back in and check that. He was featured prominently in All-Star Saturday Night.
I feel like they talked about him definitely on Saturday Night, and he was on the stage for 75 Greatest. He's famous for a moment between
Allen Iverson.
There you go. Okay. And this other guy, Mike, I don't think there's any way you're going to get this one.
Okay. So is this somebody that you don't know?
I'll be honest with you when I say, I mean, I've heard the name before, but he was born in 1939.
Born in 39.
He's a four-time NBA All-Star. He's born in New Bern, North Carolina.
Just give me the team.
He was drafted by the Chicago Packers.
Okay, that doesn't help.
Played for the New York Knicks. He played for the Detroit Pistons. He played for the Atlanta Hawks. And he played for the New Orleans Jazz.
Dave Bing?
Nope. He went to Indiana.
Man. Four-time All-Star, went to Indiana.
He shares the name with a guy who opened a theme park in Florida.
Walt Frazier?
Well, it is Walt.
Walt Bellamy?
There you go.
All right, Walt Bellamy. There you go.
You were never going to get that one, Mike. I'm sorry.
That was a tough one. They would have had to – yeah, the hints weren't helping. So,
sorry, I apologize.
Not that I have not heard of Walt Bellamy, because I have, but I didn't know any of those details.
Okay,
in his career,
so I got one last one for you, Mike.
Oh no,
Joel Embiid, James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey have combined for 176 points in their first two games together. The only trio with more points in their first two games together in NBA history are these three players with 193 points in 1961. I'm giving you.
So Wilt is one of them. Clearly.
Yes, that is correct.
Al Attles?
No.
Al Attles was the guy.
I've never heard of either of these players.
Al Attles was the guy who had 17 the night Wilt had 100, and he told everybody that him and Wilt combined for 117.
I've never heard these names.
I don't even know where to go.
I mean, I figured you would figure Wilt out.
Yeah, Wilt was a given the year.
Okay. This next one, I might. Paul Arizin.
Yeah, he was one of the top 75.
Oh, my. And York Larese.
Okay, I had never heard of York Larese. So that's pretty good, though.
There you go. So I just thought I'd share that one with you because I saw that. So,
okay.
I want to look up York Larese. How many games in the NBA did he play? Because I've never heard this guy. He was 6'4 guard out of the University of North Carolina. He was drafted by the NBA twice. That's a fun fact. Drafted by the NBA twice. He played. Oh, yeah, that's why I never heard of this guy. He played 2 years. He played for the Chicago Packers and the Philadelphia Warriors. Then he played Trenton Colonials, Williamsport Billies, Allentown Jets, the Scranton Miners. What the heck is this league? It's got to be like Hartford Capitals. It's got to be like a... Like, that's not an NBA team, is it? Are those...
No, those aren't NBA
Eastern
teams.
Basketball Association. So he literally... That must have been his claim to fame. He played like 1 year with Wilt, and that game is in their first two games. And then he coached the New York Nets for 2 seasons. So there you go, Mike.
There you go.
Fun fact about...
Learn something new every
York
day.
York Lloris.
York Lloris. Committed to memory.
He was a 6 foot... He was a 6 foot four forward. Oh, boy.
Next time York Lloris's name comes up, I'll be prepared.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. So that's my fun fact. So I guess we'll start with Ja Morant. Obviously, explosive. The last two games, just absolutely dominating. 46 points and then 52 yesterday. The one dunk he had in the game, not even the All-Star game dunks were good, but he had a really good dunk yesterday. He's just lighting Memphis on fire. He's been huge for Memphis, and obviously like clearly there's a good chance, Mike, there's a good chance that he's got to get one of the consideration for most improved, right? Which is crazy because he had a good season last year, but he's got to get consideration because he's now, I mean, are there 15, he's top 10, top 15 players in the NBA, right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be at his current rate. If you start thinking about all NBA, right, that's where ultimately things get judged. So he's going to make an All-NBA team. Is he going to be first team All-NBA?
I think he's going to have to displace Steph, right? That's the guy that has to get displaced here.
So who are your two guards?
Well, Steph.
Steph, and who's the second one?
I feel like, I guess Steph and Ja could be the two guards. I mean,
I think at this point, I think that's where you'd probably have to land if it continues the way it is. And Memphis is probably going to get, I'm guessing they're going to pass the Warriors just based on how well they've been playing. And look, Morant's up to almost 28 a game. And
yeah,
6.5 assists. He's shooting 40% from the field. And he's taken Memphis to a place that nobody really anticipated Memphis was going to be able to get to. Nobody in this season thought that Memphis was going to be challenging for a top two seed in the Western Conference. So as a result of that, I think there's a pretty good chance that Morant ends up being first team All-NBA.
Okay.
So, you know, is he really legitimately in the MVP conversation?
No.
I think no. I think there's really only three candidates. And to be honest, there's probably really only two. I think really it comes down to Jokic and Embiid. I think probably Giannis should be in that conversation. But because Milwaukee's kind of been scuffling along and not really at the same level, and because Giannis has two of them already, I think he's just a tick behind those other two guys, not necessarily in terms of his actual production, but just in terms of, I think, his chances of actually winning the award. At this point, it feels like the award is Embiid's to lose. And we could talk a little bit more about where Philly is in just a second. But I think Ja is probably – he's got to be fourth at this point. And you could probably make a case for his impact on his team being, at least this season, equal to what those other guys have done for their franchises and for their teams. Yep. He's been – just in terms of, I don't want to say changing the culture, because I don't think Memphis has ever been a place that people have looked at and said, oh, that team is a train wreck. They're just a mess. But clearly it's a small market team. It's a place that it's difficult. Just like Cleveland, you're not going to get huge free agents unless they happen to be born down the road to come and sign with your franchise.
That's not rigged. Come on,
to come,
Mike,
and sign with your franchise. So I guess my point is that Memphis has had good teams in the past, but to get a guy that's of the caliber that Morant is, you have to get lucky. And he's just elevated them in a way that they couldn't be elevated otherwise without getting a guy like him in the draft. And we've debated back and forth the Zion Ja thing.
Sorry, Mike, over and over, again. It's over.
It's pretty hard to argue at this point that
it's over.
Okay, it's still not over, but look, Ja is incredible, and he's probably better at this point, certainly better faster than anybody thought was possible. And so I don't know how at this point you can't argue for Zion in any way, shape, or form at this point. And in order for Zion to get to the level that Ja has already reached at age whatever he is, 22, 23, I mean, you're talking about Zion's really going to have to do something special to be able to say he should have been picked ahead of Ja Morant. Right.
I'm saying it. It's over.
Look, you've been saying it for a while. I'm not going to completely disagree with you, but when Zion's been on the floor, he's been equally as transcendent as Ja Morant has been.
Yeah, but he's never been on the floor.
He's been on the floor for 85 games. Come on.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that 250 is looking really good. I had several people that listened, several of my coworkers that listened to our podcast for the NBA episodes. We don't have many people that like probably specifically listen to us for NBA episodes. They probably listen to us primarily for our coaching episodes. However, I have several people at work, Mike, that are starting to buy into my theory that he's not going to play 285 or 250 games.
It's possible. It's a weird scenario. It's weird in that the team is seemingly distancing themselves from Zion. And then because Zion hasn't been seen or heard from publicly, it just leaves a vacuum where there's lots of room for speculation about what is or isn't happening. Is he or is he not happy in New Orleans? Are they going to trade him? Are they not going to trade him? Are they going to offer an extension? Are they not? Is he going to sign that extension or play for the qualifying offer? There's just a lot of there's just a lot of not information. And as a result of there being not a lot of information, people are just kind of filling it in with their own speculation about this whole thing. And it's kind of strange because when you look at New Orleans, they've now creeped their way up into the play-in, which I think is a place based on the teams that are behind them. I think they're probably going to stay. And the Lakers are clearly headed downward. And so maybe they even pass the Lakers, who they're, as of right now, this moment, they're 2.5 games behind the Lakers for the number 9 spot.
I might pass the Lakers.
Not that that's some huge accomplishment to pass the Lakers or to be the number 9 seed in a 10-team playoff picture. But you look at what New Orleans has. Ingram's been better this year, continuing to get better. His defense has been improved this season, becoming a little bit better playmaker. He's always been a big guy who's been able to score. Valanciunas now is a guy who can make threes, and we already knew what he could do in the low post over the course of his career. They got a steal in the draft with Herb Jones, who is a guy that's still developing offensively, but is very, very, very good defensively. Now you add CJ McCollum to that mix, who's, say what you want, I wouldn't want to pay him $30 million, but CJ's a good player. And you have those guys out on the floor, and now you put Zion into that mix, and suddenly that's a team. Look, it may take them time to work it out and figure it out and whatever, but if you were to just drop peak Zion into that team, that's a pretty good team. That's a team that I would not want to play in a 7-game playoff series.
There's a big thing you said there, though, Mike.
Right, a fully functional Zion. Look, I
know you said if.
If, right. But what I'm saying is that when you look at it, the Pelicans now are – they have some pieces in place that if you can get Zion back, who knows? And I'm not saying for this year. I mean, even if he comes back this year, he's going to be
– Mike, a spoiler alert. He's not playing this year.
Right. He's probably not. I agree with you.
No, it's not probably. He's not playing this year.
Okay. He's not playing this year. Regardless, at some point, if he were to return and these are the players that they have around him, it's a team that makes sense and could be a team that could have some success. That's all I'll say. I'll leave it there.
Okay. I don't disagree with you on that. I'm just saying I'm not buying it. I as much as a transcendent player as he had the opportunity to become, I'm off the Zion bandwagon, Mike, and I'm on the Ja Morant bandwagon, as for sure should have been the first. I mean, once again, this is revisionist history, okay? We have the luxury as being of 2020 hindsight here to make that decision. But I really truly believe that there is no way, no how, at the end of these of their careers, that anyone in their right mind will say that Zion had a better career than Ja Morant. I'm sticking. Call me Colin Coward. Call me whoever you want to call me. There's no way anyone is going to convince me that he's going to have a better career than Ja Morant at this point.
Which is interesting because at the draft, there was 30 teams that clearly would have picked Zion Williamson number one. I don't think there would have been one team you could have found in the league that would have picked Ja over Zion.
I also don't agree, disagree with you on that one.
So who knows? Let's hope that we get to a situation where there's a debate, because both you and I would love to be able to see Zion Williamson play basketball.
Oh, 100, Mike. 100%.
So we are clearly rooting for him to be able to come back and to play, and the league will be better off. The Pelicans will be better off. And whether or not that ever happens, I don't know. But let's hope that 10 years from now or 15 years from now that we're able to debate which one of these two guys were better. Let's hope that's a situation that we can get in, rather than just saying that Zion's another Greg Oden or Bill Walton or guy that just never lived up to his potential because of injury.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. All right. So I guess the other big topic that before we get into what else we're going to talk about tonight has got to be the James Harden, Joel Embiid experience. Now, I'm going to be completely honest and say that I have not really watched it. I saw a little bit of highlights from their first game together, but I will say it's seemingly working. Now, once again, it's early. James Harden looks like a basketball player again, so that's good news for the Sixers. He looks like a functional basketball player. He doesn't look like he's overweight or that he's been spending time at the buffets or any of that kind of thing. But at the same time, it's just a matter of when will the shoe drop? And obviously, we don't know the answer to that question. But it could happen at any time, right, Mike?
It could happen at any time. These two guys, I love Embiid as much as anybody in terms of his skill set. But I also dislike him as much as anybody in terms of his ability to play 44 minutes in a playoff game and to be available for said playoff games. And then anybody who's listened to our show before knows my feelings about James Harden. This latest iteration of James Harden, to me, is just another example of the kind of guy that this guy is. And it's another reason why I wouldn't want him on my team. So he tanks his way out of Houston. He goes to Brooklyn. Things don't work out the way that he planned. He, let's face it, fakes an injury to his hand. He's not in shape. Suddenly, he wants out of Brooklyn. He's dogging it. He sits out. He gets traded. He comes to Philly. And suddenly, he's completely and miraculously healed. There's no sign.
He went with Ernest Angley.
Yeah, there's no sign of any. Right, it's a miracle. There's no sign of any injury.
Come
whatsoever.
On, you're impressed. I pulled that reference out, Mike.
That's
come
pretty
on.
Good. Ernest Angley's a pretty good reference. He's averaging 28 a game and 14 assists in two games with the Sixers, and I think there was concern about how the two of them were going to fit and just where they were going to go on offense. And there's still some things that I think they are going to have to work out. But look, Harden, it's just – is that the kind of guy that when the going gets really tough in a playoff series, is he going to be able to summon the intestinal fortitude, some of the mental toughness to be able to get it done in crunch time. If let's replace Giannis last year in the finals with James Harden, and the crowd is chanting and counting down and blah, 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 and this and that. Does Harden have the ability to fight through that and put up 50 in game six and lead his team to victory? Let me give you the answer. No. And I look at Harden and I see a guy who I just don't want him on my team. I don't like the guy. I don't think that he's a winner. And look, can he look great at times? Is he tremendously skilled? Yes and yes. But the NBA and your greatness is determined not by what you do in a couple of meaningless regular season games after the All-Star break. Your bread and butter as an NBA superstar and what gets you remembered is what you do in the playoffs. And as we've said numerous times, I don't remember one memorable moment from James Harden in the playoffs other than him melting down multiple times and him sitting on the bench when his team came back from 19 down against the Lob City Clippers. I don't want James Harden on my team. I'm glad he's not on my team. I'm glad I don't have to root for him. Congratulations that it's worked out for two games with him and Embiid. I'm sure they're going to have a great rest of the regular season, but this team in no way, shape, or form is winning an NBA championship. I just don't see it.
Oh.
If Harden's your best guy, it's not happening. And I still don't, as great as Embiid is, I still don't trust Embiid to be on the floor for 40 to 44 minutes in four straight rounds of NBA playoff series. I just don't see it.
Listen, I completely see where you're coming from. And I 99% believe that what you're saying is true. But there's just a small part of me, Mike. This team just look in the two games, in the small amount of highlights I've seen, and once again, this goes back to the theoretical. And that's another thing. My students are getting on me. I'm saying theoretical too much, and I attribute it to you. And that's not even just in the show.
It all traces back to me.
It's in my classroom. I'm now saying theoretically all the time, my students are giving me gruff about that. Anyways, there's something about this, the possibility for this team that, you know, they could do it. Now, will they do it? I don't know, because once again, there's lots of variables here. But I just feel like it's the East is open, more open than I thought it was going to be, in the sense that, I mean, the whole Kyrie nonsense, the whole Harden leaving nonsense.
Okay, let's say this. Can I interrupt you for just a second?
Sure.
Back to make your point. I think you're right in that it's more wide open. Like, I don't think there's a clear cut favorite. I don't think Milwaukee has, which is the team that most people thought was going to be the clear-cut favorite. I don't think they've established themselves as such. So I think it's more wide open. And yet at the same time, I think the road to getting to the NBA Finals through the East is going to be a gauntlet. You're going to have to win three tough series in the East in order to get to the NBA Finals. So, yes, I agree. It's more open in that there's more teams probably that can convince themselves they have a chance of winning it. And yet at the same time, you're not looking at the LeBron East from 2015 to 2018 where you basically could pencil in the Cavs into the Eastern Conference Finals with two walkover series. Whoever gets out of the East this year is going to have played three challenging series. That's all I'm saying on that.
I agree with you. I agree with that statement. I totally agree. I don't remember what my point was going to be at this point.
The theoretical Sixers. You were talking about the theoretical Sixers.
Thank you. The theoretical Sixers are a good team. But once again, that's theoretical. Do I think there's a chance they can win? Yes, I do. Do I think that it's likely? I mean, who? If not the Sixers, then who? I guess the Bucks or the Heat. This is a conversation that I don't know if we want to just
Let's go into it now.
Part of our podcast tonight is going to be like contenders and pretenders, and like we're going to look at the teams that are in the top of each conference. And I guess we really do we need to do anything more than the top six, Mike, or do we need to? I mean, the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn's kind of floating there, and they're eight. I mean, I don't know if we even want
to. Let's just talk through. From the back end to the front end, okay. And so we could spend a minute or two on.
We don't need to spend any time on Orlando. We don't need to spend any time on Detroit. We don't need to spend any time on Indiana. We don't have to spend time on the Knicks. They're not.
The Knicks, is Tibbs the first coach fired when the offseason gets here? Is there a decent chance he's the first coach fired?
I don't know. This is only year two. I mean, can LeBron get fired? I mean,
maybe is it really as GM, I guess he could get fired. I don't know. I just look up and down the league, and you look at the bottom of all these conferences, right? You look at the bottom of the East and the West. Orlando, people expected them to be bad. Detroit, people expected them to be bad. Indiana, Carlisle just got there. Houston, Stephen Silas isn't going to get fired. Oklahoma City, we know they're not trying to win. Sacramento, they already canned one coach during the season. Pop, he's either going to keep coaching or he's going to retire. Chauncey Billups just got there in Portland. To me, it's either Vogel or Tibbs are one of the first coaches to go. So anyway, that's all I had to say about the Knicks.
Okay, anyways, so the Wizards, No. So Atlanta, they're not even a pretender. I mean,
no, they're not a pretender.
I don't know if you did. You see that Jaylen Brown got hurt tonight?
Yeah, I did. I watched a lot of that game tonight.
So I don't know. I don't know how serious the Jaylen Brown injury is going to be, but
Doesn't help Boston. Let's put it that way. It does not help the Celtics if he's out for any length of time. It does not help Boston and Atlanta. Might help the theoretical Cavs. Although the Cavs, as they're the real life Cavs now are in a little bit of trouble. They're in a bad spot, which we'll talk about in a second.
Okay.
Atlanta is a pretender. Like you watch them, and if I was a fan of the Hawks, I would be just completely disgruntled because at moments, like during the first half of this game against the Celtics, they looked fantastic. And then they come out in the second half and they didn't score for like the first 6 minutes of the second half. And look, Boston's defense has been good and significantly better than it was at the beginning of the year, and I think they're either up to one or two in the league in overall defense. But still, Atlanta just is so wildly inconsistent, and they've been that way all year. So at this point, I think you have to say they're just consistently inconsistent. And yeah, I would say there's a 2% chance that they could run back and do what they did last year, but they haven't shown any semblance of the ability to put together a consistent run of quality play, quality wins. Seems like they win one or two and then boom, they lose a game that they shouldn't. And it's almost that way half to half with them. So yeah, I think Atlanta is clearly a pretender. Now, they're a team that could they win a round if they get the right matchup? I could see them winning a round against one of the teams that's above them. But I don't see them advancing beyond the second round of the playoffs.
Yep, I agree. All right. So then Charlotte, they're a pretender. They're not
Charlotte. Charlotte's out in the first round.
Are they even in the first round? I mean,
yeah, they may not.
Would you be overly surprised if they lost in the play-in tournament?
If it stays the way it is now, and it's Charlotte, Atlanta, I would certainly pick Atlanta in that play-in game. I would have far more faith in Trae Young to come through based on what we saw from him last year in the playoffs. I would have much more confidence in him in a one game scenario than anybody that Charlotte can throw out there.
Man, come on. What about LaMelo? You picked him for your team.
So LaMelo's fine, but I'd rather put Trae Young out there if I had to win one game. You give me one game, tell me I can have LaMelo or I can have Trae Young, I'll take Trae Young every time.
Okay, that's fair. All right, Brooklyn.
Who knows, right? Who knows?
Who knows? What's the status? Like, is Kyrie going to be allowed to play in more games? You know, it's once again.
Go ahead and use your favorite word.
Theoretical.
The theoretical Brooklyn Nets with a Kyrie Irving who can play every game, with a healthy Kevin Durant, and with a best case version of Ben Simmons is probably the championship favorite. Because they've developed, actually, some of their role players have actually done and developed pretty nicely in this time. Patty Mills is a good player. Seth Curry is a good player. Nick Claxton's a good player. Cam Thomas, their rookie, looks like he could potentially be a guy that could give them something in a playoff series and maybe catch fire and win a quarter or win a game or make a difference. But look, Durant is coming back off a knee injury, coming off the Achilles, coming off playing major, major minutes. Kyrie, who knows if he's going to be able to play or not going to play. Ben Simmons, I continue to listen to and read experts speculating about how this trade really helps Brooklyn in the long run, and you had to get rid of Harden because he was tanking and this and that. And I feel like it's being completely discounted, like I've talked about the last couple of weeks, that to think that this guy is just going to suddenly walk out on the floor and overcome the fear of going to the free throw line and not being aggressive and all the things that have tormented him in the past, to think that's all just going to disappear and you're suddenly going to get the best version of Simmons. To me, that seems really, really overly optimistic. So I still put Brooklyn in the idea of they're still more theoretical. And look, they lost to Toronto again tonight. They're 4.5 back from the sixth spot. I don't see them getting out of – I think they're going to end up in the play-in. And I think it's a tough road to hoe to ask a team to come from out of the play-in and win the NBA title. So they're – I don't think you can completely rule them out. But, man, they're hanging on. If they're on that contender ledge, they're hanging on by a fingernail.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. They are finger. They're. I don't know. If fingernail or claw, or they're just like hanging there. Speaking of claws, the Toronto Raptors. They're a pretender too, Mike. That team. No one's. I'm not afraid of that team. Come on, pretenders.
They have no chance of winning the Eastern Conference or winning the NBA title. But again, that's a team who, in a first-round series, is going to be a team that is not necessarily going to be very fun to play when you think about the length that they have and just the way that Nick Nurse kind of moves things around and is always trying to do something different on defense and throwing you different looks offensively. It wouldn't be a fun team to play just because of all the length and what they can do defensively. They're honestly playing better than what I feel like their personnel maybe dictates. Although, again, Siakam's been close to back to peak Siakam, which makes a huge difference for them. And Scotty Barnes continues to get better. He's going to be a guy who's going to be – he's probably going to be one of the top 20, 25 players in the league at some point here in the next 3-4 years, I would guess, just because of his versatility and size and the things that he can do all over the floor. So that's a team, like I said earlier, I think all these East first-round series, no matter who it ends up being, are going to be fun series. In all honesty, I think everybody in the top 9 or the top 10 except for Charlotte. I don't see Charlotte beating anybody, but I think any of those other 9 teams could beat one of those other teams in the right scenario.
Maybe not.
Maybe that's maybe a little bit too strong. I think there's some teams that the Cavs couldn't beat. But I wouldn't want to play – by the same token, and we'll talk about it here in a second, I wouldn't want to play the Cavs if I'm one of those better teams just because of the Mobley, Allen, and the way they're different. And potentially if you get Sexton back and Garland's healthy, the Cavs are not going to be a fun team to play unless they're hurt. I mean, the current iteration of the Cavs has no chance against any of these top teams.
Billy Goodwin's looked pretty good.
Billy's been good. Look, he's certainly an upgrade over Pangos. And I'd rather see him out there than Rondo, just because I think he brings more to the table. But regardless of that, you still, when you're missing Garland, who's basically the straw that stirs the drink, he's the guy who does for them on offense everything that they need. You got to have more creation because you just don't have any shot creation or playmaking at any other position on the floor.
Well,
nobody's putting the ball on the floor for the Cavs and creating offense except for Garland. Yeah. And we haven't seen enough of LeVert to know whether or not he could potentially fill that role or not.
Yeah, I mean,
theoretically,
momentum you built with LeVert has completely been lost. Mike, by the way, the Lakers were down 24 points. It's a 4-point game halfway through the third quarter.
Lakers are on the comeback trail, man. It's all turned around.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Anyways, I can't wait till we get to the West so we can declare them contenders.
Oh no, Boston. Oh, we skipped over Boston when we were. If Jaylen Brown's hurt, they're a pretender. They've played really, really well the last, you know, month. And it all goes back to the defensive end of the floor. Everything I've seen out of them, they look good. So I don't know if I'm quite ready to say they're content. I think they're kind of like in the pretenders. I don't know if that makes sense, but they're kind of on the cusp. They're in the bubble, Mike. The Cavs are not contenders, by the way. I don't know if we made that clear. I don't think they're contenders.
The Cavs with the right matchup could win a first round series. So I think if they played, if I look at the top 10, I think these are the teams that the Cavs could beat in a 7-game series. I think they could beat Atlanta. I think they could beat Charlotte. I think they could beat Toronto. I think they could beat Boston.
I think they could beat Chicago.
I think they could beat Chicago. That's what I was going to say. I was looking at. I don't think they could beat Philly. Although they don't really have anybody to deal with Harden particularly well. Although Okoro, I think, could do a decent job on him. But you do have two big guys to throw at Embiid to at least possibly make him work. We saw Jared Allen make Embiid work in the All-Star game. Not that that's in any way relevant to what happens in the playoffs, but. I think the best version of the Cavs, I think, could give any one of these teams difficulty. I don't think we can beat Milwaukee. I don't think that we could beat Philly, in all honesty. Maybe I'm underestimating how good Miami is. We probably couldn't beat Miami, although I'd be happier to see Miami than either Philly or Milwaukee. And I do think we could beat Chicago. I think that who knows what version of Chicago you're going to have and how healthy Lonzo or Caruso, those guys both can be back, at what level they're going to be playing at. I think the problem for the Cavs is we have Okoro as one wing defender. I'm not sure who our second guy you throw out there on.
Laurie Markkanen. DeRozan.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want Markkanen on LaVine. Let's put it that way. I'm not sure how good that would go. Lamar Stevens would probably get a lot of run in that series, I'm guessing. So, yeah, Boston to me is a pretender. I still don't think if Jason Tatum's your best guy and you're having to go head-to-head with Giannis or you're having to go head-to-head with Embiid and Harden, or even if you're having to go head-to-head with DeRozan or Jimmy Butler, I just think, to me, Tatum is a notch below all those guys. And so I would still put Boston in the pretender category. Cavs, who are currently fifth, the Cavs are a pretender. Like you said,
yeah.
They can win. They can win one series.
Yep. Okay. So, of the top four here, Mike, I'm gonna put them all in contenders, but I feel like Chicago's a theoretical contender. I think they're over. They've played above their means in a sense, but at the same time, I know I just said that Cleveland could beat them in a series, but could Chicago continue to play the way they've been playing and get to the championship? I think they could, and a lot of things have to happen the right way, but they're the weakest of the top four, no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
And then the other three are all contenders in my book. I'm putting them all there.
I agree. The Bulls would need to be completely fully healthy, right? You're not getting there without Lonzo, without Caruso. Those two guys have both have to be healthy. LaVine has to get through his knee issues. The Bulls fully formed, I think, would give any of those teams a challenge. I don't see the Bulls. You got to win three series. You're going to have to win three tough series. I don't see the Bulls being able to win three tough series and where they're going to have to beat two out of the three of Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Miami most likely. I don't see that happening. So, yeah, I agree. I think Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Miami, you have to say that all those teams are contenders. Although, as I've said, if I'm being honest about my opinion, I don't think Philadelphia can win an NBA championship with Harden and Embiid. I just don't see that happening because of the reasons that I already went over. So I guess I would look at Milwaukee and Miami as my two favorites in the Eastern Conference.
Yep. I agree. Those two are the, you know, I still want to see the theoretical Philadelphia sector. This is intriguing, but I don't know. I'm not buying it 100%. All right. So moving to the Western Conference, we're not going to talk about Houston. We're not going to talk about Oklahoma City. We're not going to talk about Sacramento. We're not going to talk about the Spurs. We're not going to talk about Portland. And I'm not talking about Pelicans. We already talked about the Pelicans. None of those teams are even remotely
Pelicans,
close.
You're not putting the Pelicans in the contender category?
No.
Zion comes back? Zion's back?
Zion is not playing this year, Mike.
Okay.
All right. Okay, okay. The Lakers, okay. We're not even talking. They're not in it. They're out.
What?
They're out.
They got three superstars.
They're out.
Three superstars.
They got one superstar who can't hit the broad side of the barn. You've got one superstar that can't even get on the floor. And then you got another superstar who's clearly over it.
Still a superstar?
Oh, he's still a superstar. LeBron's still a superstar.
Is he shutting it down at some point here?
I don't know. He just hit one from the logo.
I'm just asking, is he going to shut it down at some point?
Does he just pack it in? No. I don't think he packs it
in. You think he goes hard down to the wire?
I think he does. It's a legacy thing. He doesn't want to be Harden. He's not going to quit. I at this point, he's not going to quit. Is he going to ask out at the end of the season? That wouldn't surprise me. He's not going to quit this point in the season.
Could they fall out of the playoffs? Could they fall out of the playoffs?
No. Not happening. Portland's not good. No.
If any one of those teams below them had anything, Portland clearly is trying to lose. San Antonio is trying to win, but
they don't have. Yeah,
they just don't have enough. And Sacramento is clearly trying to win, but who knows what's going on there?
No, Listen, I think the Lakers are stuck in the 9 seed. They're 4.5 back or 4
I
back.
I could see New Orleans passing them. Honestly, I could see New Orleans.
Well, they're stuck in that 9-10 game. I mean,
yeah, they're going to definitely be in the 9-10 game,
which is a far cry from my NBA champions.
Yeah,
NBA finals.
I don't think that's happening. So yeah, I don't think you can. You can't look. We talked about it last week with Anthony Davis. He's just been made of glass for his entire time in Los Angeles, except for the bubble when he was able to stay healthy. And he was tremendous during that run to the title in the bubble. But other than that, he's been
got trucked by LeBron. Oh, God. Who is that? Oh, Davis Bertans. Welcome to Dallas, Bertans.
Okay. So, he's the Lakers are a pretender. The Clippers, as currently constituted,
they're terrible.
Are a pretender. Look, kudos to Ty Lue for having that ragtag group at 33-31 without Kawhi and Paul George. He's doing a tremendous job. But the Clippers have no chance. They're not as currently constituted. They're not beating any of those teams.
Same with Minnesota. Like, listen. They beat us last night, but they barely beat us without Darius Garland. They barely beat us, And I just
it's good to see Minnesota. It's good to see Minnesota playing well. It's good to see him playing well.
Well, listen, Anthony Edwards looks really good, man.
Edwards is going to be an all-star in another year or two for sure.
He looks really good. Carl Anthony Towns, he didn't look good, but he hit the huge three last night.
Can Minnesota win around in the playoffs? Is there anybody in the top six they can beat?
Oh, they could beat Utah.
Think so? Nah, they're not beating Utah.
I think they could beat them.
Nah, none of those four teams in the play-in are winning a series unless they get guys back.
Okay. All right, so then we get to the top six, Mike. I'm willing to say that all six of those teams for the West are contenders. Who's the weak of the six?
Which team do you have the least confidence, least amount Utah. Of confidence in? Utah. I agree. I have the least amount of confidence in Utah.
Minnesota could beat them, and you shut me down.
No, Minnesota's not beating them, but they're the least likely of those six teams, I would say, to make the NBA Finals. So you make the case for let's go from the top down. Phoenix, we know what they are. They've been the best team in the league the whole year.
Their big question is Chris Paul being injured and
if Chris Paul can come back and be healthy, then
I mean they're the number one seed. There's no one catching them.
No, no one's going to catch Phoenix. And this stretch could theoretically be good for them in two ways. One, it could allow some of their guys to step up into a slightly larger role and maybe find something that they could use during the non-Chris Paul minutes during the playoffs if he comes back. So that's one piece of it. And then I think the second part of that is Chris Paul gets an opportunity to rest for 2 months and then he's able to come back and ramp it up. Now the question is, if he sits for 2 months and then he's got to come back right away and can't work his way back in slowly playing some regular season games, he's got to come right back into the intensity of the playoffs. What does that do for his body and his ability to stay healthy? So the question is, who knows? But Phoenix with Chris Paul clearly is good. I mean, they've been good all year, and I would expect them to continue to be good.
Yep.
Golden State?
I mean, they're kind of not playing very good right now. They blew that game last night or two nights ago? 23
that
point.
That'd
be two nights ago. That wasn't last night.
That was two nights ago. Yeah, that was two nights ago. They need Draymond, right? I mean, yeah. without a healthy Draymond, that team is not going to be able to compete to win a title. They're just not.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not able to do it. By the way, the Warriors Twitter fans, oh man, brutal. Fire Steve Kerr. I'm like, are you serious? The guy's doing the best he can do, and he's got, you know, he has Klay Thompson, who's been out for a majority of the year, and he's still working to get back. You got Draymond's been out a whole bunch, and I give me a break. You can't fire Steve Kerr. Give me a break. Get out of here with that nonsense, Warriors Twitter. Get out of here. Anyways, I don't know. I don't have confidence in them either because of their big time injuries, and yeah, like
unless you get Draymond back, it doesn't matter. They're not good enough without they're not good enough without Draymond to be a serious title contender. They need him to be fully formed and be at his best in order to win.
Yeah. All right, Memphis. I mean, they're a contender. I have less confidence in Memphis than I do in Phoenix. I probably have less confidence in them than I do Golden State, just because at least a majority of Golden State players have been there. You know,
Memphis is young. I mean, the argument against Memphis is that they're young. They played in one playoff series as a group last year and lost to Utah. And it's very rare that teams go from you lose one first round playoff series to being a legitimate contender for the NBA championship. And Memphis probably isn't going to get it done, but they have all the pieces. And the biggest argument, again, for them is the lack of experienced veterans that have been there before. and you're being led by a guy in Ja Morant who hasn't gone through those playoff battles. Now, he was very, very good in the playoffs last year, and I would expect him to be very, very good in the playoffs this year. But if you tell me that Memphis is going to play against Denver or they're going to play against Dallas, I'm not so sure I don't like Dallas and Denver better because of the experience and playoff resumes of their stars.
Yeah, I agree. So then we talked about Utah already. Dallas and Denver are kind of in an interesting situation. Dallas is still learning to play with each other. And, you know, obviously they had a huge comeback the other night against Golden State. They've looked pretty good. And Luka's looked good. He's maybe finally in shape, Mike. I don't know. But they've looked pretty good. Now they are losing now to the Lakers. Contenders, Mike. No, I'm just kidding. but I think Dallas is a legit. I think they're a contender. They could win the West. I mean, once again, I think any of these six teams can win the West, depending on how things break. And Denver, once again, like, I still haven't seen anything about Jamal Murray's potential return date. I've seen like, oh, he's doing this and he's doing that. He's got light. He's been doing shooting and things like that. So, but if Denver gets Jamal Murray back and he can play 20 minutes a game, I mean, that would be huge for Denver. So I think both these teams have a chance. But I think they're definitely below Phoenix at Golden State. They're probably above Utah in my I have faith in them situation because, I mean, Dallas and Denver both have two players that are transcendent. I don't know that I have anyone on Utah that I would consider transcendent. The closest being Donovan Mitchell. But I don't know if you agree with that statement. If you disagree with that statement, that you have more confidence in them than Utah. But
I have more confidence in Dallas and Denver than I do in Utah.
Okay.
The question for me is how I would rank these teams out. I think you have to have Phoenix number one, with or without Chris Paul at this point. I think they're probably at the top. They're going to get some version of Chris Paul back. It seems where he's at exactly in his conditioning and rehab and health, who knows when the playoffs start. But just based on what we've seen so far, I think you have to have Phoenix number one. And then, man, I don't know. I'm not confident that Draymond's coming back at full strength. And this team, since the beginning of the year, they've kind of scuffled. They haven't looked nearly as good since about the halfway point of the season. And so I think I'd actually slide Golden State down a ways. I might actually put – it's weird. Man, I mean, I feel like I'm going back to what I said last year. Like, I'm not sure that I love any of these teams, but I'm not sure I can outright dismiss any of these teams either. Like, part of me wants to say that I have more confidence in Dallas and Denver than I do in Golden State. And I already made the case of why I might pick Dallas or Denver in a series against Memphis, because I just think that as good as Ja is, Luka and Jokic are even better. And to bet against one of those guys in a 7-game series, I'm not sure that that's the position I'd want to be in. So I think if I was ranking these teams right now, honestly, I think I would go Phoenix, Dallas, Denver, Memphis, Golden State, Utah. I think that's how I'd rank them.
Wait, repeat that again.
Phoenix, Dallas, Denver, Memphis, Golden State, Utah.
Wow. I have more faith in Golden State than you.
Without Draymond?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I just even with Draymond, I don't think they've played as well. Klay hasn't had nearly the positive impact that I think a lot of people thought he was going to have. And they're relying on a lot of guys that, quite frankly, look, I know Andrew Wiggins was an all-star, but Andrew Wiggins is not an all-star. Kayvon Looney is starting for them. Gary Payton II, who's a great defensive player, but the isn't much too. Of an offensive. Yeah. Moses Moody, Kuminga, Otto Porter, Juan Toscano-Anderson. That's a lot of minutes for guys that, I mean, I'm not afraid of would any you, of those guys.
Okay, so if, would you take the Lakers over Golden State? Uh-oh, oh no.
Is AD healthy?
That's
are you giving guess. Me a are you giving me a healthy if you give me both rosters healthy, I probably still have to take Golden State, but
okay. I just was checking how low you were on Golden State.
but it's closer than I think. Are we gonna sit Westbrook?
We're not We're not going back in time either. It's not the 2010. Okay,
it's not the 2000. It's not 2015 LeBron.
No.
All but, right, I'll take Golden State, okay, but it's closer than their records okay. might indicate if I have a healthy AD. Even okay. though the Lakers are a train wreck. They are just a complete train wreck, and I don't know if they're winning or not.
They're up four whatever. Right now with 11 minutes left. LeBron someone just ran over Floyd Mayweather's alcoholic beverage. Okay. Courtside.
It's a rough one for Floyd. Oh, man.
Floyd's got some nice chain on today.
Okay. Good for Floyd. He's got to be decked out. He's not going with the Jared Allen theory, huh? He's not going with the comfortable clothes. He's going with the fashion statement over there on the sideline.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, I don't know. I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about tonight, Mike. I feel like we've talked about the contenders and the pretenders.
You got to do your Cavs. You got to do your Cavs schedule, and then that's it. I think we wrap it there. I think we kill it there.
We got dad jokes too.
Yeah, we got dad jokes, but let's do the Cavs schedule.
Okay,
quick.
The Cavs schedule. Are we gonna operate under the assumption that Garland is not playing in any of these games?
I read that he's questionable for the next game.
Okay, well, if I'm the Cavs, I don't play him tomorrow night against Charlotte, and I play him on Friday against Philadelphia. But that's just me. Anyways,
okay.
So
okay.
Here's our schedule. We have four games before our next podcast. We play Charlotte tomorrow. I'm going to give it a win.
Whew. You better win that one.
And then we're at Philly. That's a loss. Then we're home on Sunday against Toronto.
Big game, national TV.
Is it what channel is it on?
ESPN.
Oh, I wonder who's calling it. I hope it's DB. I want Doris Burke.
Okay.
Well, because it's not going to be Van Gundy and them, because they're going to be the 3:30 broadcast. So, give me DB. Give me DB.
All right.
Richard Jefferson.
You know who doesn't want DB?
Who's that?
Meredith.
Why? She doesn't like Doris Burke?
I'll just leave it at that. I won't say anything more.
Oh, okay.
Not a fan.
Oh, I'm a fan of DB. I like
not
her.
A fan. I'm just telling you, Meredith.
Are you
not
a fan of DB?
I could take her or leave her.
Oh, okay. All right. And then, so what did you say? Are they going to win that game, Toronto? National
that's
television?
That's a big game. Cavs got to win that game. I'm going to give them a win. It's at home.
Okay. And then the last game will be Indiana. At Indiana.
And I'll then take you, a win there.
Just look at the stretch after that. You got to get a win there.
Yeah, you got to win. You got to win.
At Miami, at Chicago, home against the Clippers, home against Philly, home against Denver, home against Detroit, home against the Lakers. That's a nice stretch, though. Five home games in a row there.
Yeah, hopefully, even though there's some tougher teams, hopefully you can be at home. Hopefully Garland's back and healthy. This all hinges on Garland's health. Without Garland, all these games become really, really difficult. So I'm calling for 3-1, but
2-2
I could easily see 2-2 or 1-3, especially if Garland's not playing. So to go 2-2, I think you'd probably be happy at this point. Look, the Cavs are two games up on Toronto. If Garland continues to miss games or the back continues to be an issue, then clearly I think the Cavs are going to fall into the playing games. And that's just the way it is. If he gets back healthy, then they can maybe stay up in that 5-6 hole. But it's gonna be really tough if he's not healthy.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Mike. One other question. We should try to get to a game. Just go watch one more game. Try to get to the Cavs game before.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Baby comes, because that's not happening once that happens. So.
Well, let's pick a game. Let's figure see if we can figure one out.
Maybe an 8 o'clock game.
Maybe we go see Orlando.
That's a victory.
Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, because I'm looking. Yeah, that or the Denver game. I mean,
what's that? What day of the week is that?
Friday, the 18th.
That doesn't work, man. I got practice now.
Oh, Friday night.
My only free night with no practices is Monday during the week.
Okay.
And no practices or podcasts. Monday.
Clippers.
Lakers.
Lakers isn't. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 That Lakers, the tickets Lakers. Are going to be so expensive for that game.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Clippers are going to be bargain basement prices because
I think I got to target Orlando.
But is that a Monday game?
Go see Wendell Carter Jr.
Oh, Monday the 28th. That's not going to work. That's a week, but that's not happening.
Okay, well, see what happens, man.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Alrighty, dad joke. You ready?
I'm ready, man.
Did you know that 10 plus 10 and 11 plus 11 are the same, Mike?
No, I didn't.
Well, 10 plus 10 is 20, and 11 plus 11 is 22.
That's a good one. That's a good one. What's a vampire's favorite ship?
I don't know.
A blood vessel.
Whoa. Why did Dracula's wife not sleep well?
I don't know.
Because of his coffin.
That's a good. I like it, man. Vampire. It's a vampire night. To the person who stole my copy of Microsoft Office, I promise I'm going to hunt you down. You have my word.
That's terrible.
Come on. It's not that bad. All right. That's a good one. Are we leaving it there?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. Let's leave it there. Thanks for checking us out tonight.
Hold on.
What?
What happened when Dracula posted prohibited content on YouTube?
I don't know. What happened?
Account suspended.
That's good. I like it. That's a good one. I like that one. That's good. That's very good.
There you go. Okay.
It's been a vampire-themed evening. On that note, thanks for checking us out here on the Hoopheads Pod, our NBA weekly episode. We appreciate it. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the episode that we put out Monday with Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential, Joe was on for his third time talking player development. A really good episode, whether you're a player or a coach looking to improve your player development in your program. And then on Friday, we'll have Vlad Moldovaniu, who is a Romanian professional basketball player. Vlad came on and we talked actually basketball parenting. We talked making the right decision about where to go to college. We talked a little bit about mental performance and how you can improve the way you think about the game. So there's a lot of great things that Vlad and I touched on. So make sure you check out those two episodes. Vlad's will be dropping on Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and Joe's episode is already out. So make sure you check those out. Appreciate you listening to us this evening. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.